Yeah, it is Fall Creek, Big City Wings, right off Beltway 8. Sam Houston Parkway, well, I call it Beltway 8 because I've been around so damn long. It ain't never going to change. It's Beltway 8, baby. But we're out here at Big City Wings. Y'all come through, hang out. It is a football Friday. Ron Hughley is out. My man Sean Bajani is in. You stick around these Sports Radio 610 airways long enough, you don't know when the hell you're going to find Sean Bajani. He's all over the map. But
all over the place.
Always good to have you. Yeah, that man right there. It's always good to have you, brother. Always good to have you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'll be on a little bit later on tonight.
You're going to double us up.
Yeah, why not?
I don't come on until 10 o'clock.
Oh, you got to be careful, man.
10 to midnight with my main man, PC.
I'm just Boss Man ain't going to appreciate this, but I'm going to tell you got to be careful, man. That's like when you're dating that girl, you know, you're dating that gal for 2-3 years, and you're just spoiling her. Every Valentine's Day, you're buying roses, you're throwing them all over the bed, you get chocolates, you're spending all this money. You know what she's going to expect you to do 10 years later?
Oh, I thought you meant later that night.
Boy, we can talk about that later on. That she's going to expect you. She's going to expect you every Valentine's Day, you better have rose petals all over the place, you better spend $1,000. Hey, man, you better be careful, man. They start going. Hey, man, Bajani, he'll go 4 hours on the drive, take a 2-hour break, and he'll come back. He'll go 4 hours a night with Patrick. Hell, let's use and abuse. Be careful now,
Tyler. With the,
I love it.
I'm ready and willing at all times. It's all good.
You better be careful, man. I'm telling you. I need that fence built, and you over here double dipping in the damn radio, man. What's going on right here?
You know, when I build a fence, I get started at 6:30 in the morning.
My man, anybody out there need a damn fence built, my man Sean Bajani, hey, call. I don't know if you're looking for business, but if you are, my man, I done seen pictures of the product, baby. They speak volumes. All you got to do is hit him up on social media, man. He's out there hustling and doing good work, man.
Appreciate you.
A lot of money in that fence. I've been shopping around for a fence now for about 2 years. It takes me a while to pull the trigger, man. I've been shopping around. It takes good money in that, Sean.
Well, you should, because there's a lot of people out there that charge way too much. That's why I got into it, because I don't have to charge as much.
Well, look, here's the deal, man. I mean, I like to support friends. I like to support small business. I like to support Texans, Houstonians. And, hell, I don't know why yet, but I like you. So, I think it'd be a way to go. But,
well, then you better call Sean.
You've heard of Better Call Saul.
Yeah. Hell with Saul. You better call Sean.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we do got a Football Friday going on. We got to get to business here. Academy Sports and Outdoors is doing big things for us, making it all possible. And they are doing a couple things today, every Friday, really. But the big one here is when you come in the door at Big City Wings, there's also, I think, a couple of flyers floating around here. Make sure you scan the QR code and you register to win the Academy Sports and Outdoors Ultimate Football Tailgate Pack. What that is $1,000 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors, as well as 2 tickets in our suite, which is the second largest suite at NRG Stadium, just behind the McNairs, by the way. And we got a great
dude.
Yeah, I know. We got a great crew at Odyssey. So, and it's Sports Radio 610. It's 2 seats in the suite for the Baltimore Ravens Houston Texans game on Christmas Day. So make sure you scan that QR code and get registered. And we'll let you know a little bit more down the road when we're going to make that happen. Obviously, it's going to happen before Christmas.
Yeah.
We got to make that happen.
Man, you can't get better than that. That's a hell of a giveaway.
It's a hell of a deal. Academy's $1,000 to Academy Sports and Outdoors, man. Look out now. Also, today we'll be giving away two $25 Academy Sports and Outdoors gift cards. We'll be giving away two $25 Big City Wings gift cards. And we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to U of H, Utah.
Yeah.
And we'll be giving away another pair of tickets to U of H, Kansas State. While we're on that college,
2 dubs.
Come on, man.
Let's go.
While we're on that college football front, y'all know it's Red River Rivalry Week, and I am married to a Longhorn. I have no Oklahoma ties. I am married to a Longhorn, and I want to start the conversation with my. Well, Tyler, I think you'll enjoy this. My last time on a college football field, I did put a foot off in the asshole.
That's right.
Of old Bevo. Now the Longhorns went down January 1, 2000, first college football game of the new year.
Spank that hamburger.
You know, easy now. See, I don't know where you're going to take it.
Tyler always takes it too far.
We're still talking about a football.
Tyler's game on the line.
I was talking about the Longhorn people.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I just had my man just walked up and handed me 12 fluid ounces of a cold beer that says big time in the middle of it in big bold letters, Oklahoma Sucks brand.
Yeah.
You know it's
a great label.
You know it's Red River Rivalry Week, which I try to say it three times for an old hayseed like me. That's tough. Oklahoma Sucks brand beer. You know it's Red Rivalry Week. My wife would absent Red River Rivalry Week.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Damn, I was hoping it wasn't going to be at home.
We're back.
That's it. But, yeah, man, so we're starting this thing off. Big week in college football. We'll get down to that. With 12 teams getting into the college football playoffs, the one-loss teams are A-OK. It's when you get to 2 and 3 losses when you start flirting with trouble, especially for a handful of schools that aren't blue bloods, that aren't typically in your top 10, top 15, that are going to get the benefit of the doubt. So we'll dive into some college football, no doubt about it. But before we do that, we got to jump into this the Houston Texans, man. I think there's obviously some monster stories going on with the Texans. And luckily they're catching the New England Patriots this week, and they don't necessarily need a full stable of explosive players to still be a significant favorite going to New England.
Right.
But the big storyline here for me is Nico Collins. There's no Nico Collins. He's on IR. We're without him for at least 4 weeks. And that's going to present an opportunity. It's going to present a big-time opportunity. And look, you can say last weekend the second half was an opportunity, obviously, but I'm talking about this is going to present a big-time opportunity for the coaching staff to actually game plan, Sean, to give somebody, one of the wide receivers, an opportunity to shine. They're going to be able to game plan for a week and obviously give that guy the best chance to win. I got a question for you, Sean. I mean, you cover this team as closely as anybody. Which wide receiver do you believe has the most to gain in Nico Collins' absence?
That's an interesting way to put it. The most.
I don't care who's going to be the most productive. I want to know which guy right now that we think. Look, I'll run down the list real quick. Diggs is obviously a proven veteran.
Mm-hmm.
He's carried a pass game before in the NFL for several years.
Yep.
Tank Dell is obviously super explosive, young dude that's shown some promise. But it's a small sample size. Xavier Hutchinson, another young, unknown, kind of do-everything, good soldier type of player. And then I'll even throw Dalton Schultz in there, a guy that a savvy vet that got paid $12 million, and I would say probably hasn't lived up to those standards. And maybe not be on his watch, but hasn't produced the way that you would expect a $12 million tight end to produce.
No. Now that you lay it out a little bit better, I would say the most to gain, it maybe falls down to just two guys, Xavier Hutchinson.
Okay.
Because, look, we haven't seen a lot of him, and we haven't really seen Bobby Slowick, put him in within the offense like a Nico Collins or a Tank Dell or a Stephon Diggs. He's in on some of the more gimmicky things.
Yep.
But he got a chance last weekend against the Bills where he was much more involved in some of the route running that we would associate with Diggs and Collins and Dell with, as opposed to just the end around or the jet sweep. So I'm intrigued to see what Xavier Hutchinson can offer because I like his ability to go up and get balls in traffic and finish through contact. We saw a lot of that in the last two training camps, but haven't really seen it in the game. But now that I think about it, because you mentioned his name, and there's going to be much more opportunity for him to make plays, to me it is Tank Dell. That, to me, is who has the most to gain, at least here in the short term, because you don't have the NFL's best wide receiver on the field with you. Somebody else has got to step up. They've been talking about it all week. I would fully anticipate Diggs and Dell to be that 1-2 punch, going forward. And look, I really want to go back to Stephon Diggs. I think he's the elephant in the room. I think he's Captain Obvious answer here, because what has Nico Collins been doing since Robert Woods took that step back last season? He was that go-to guy on third down when the Texans needed to move the chains. That became Nico Collins.
Yeah.
And he's been that guy this year. But the number one reason, in my mind, you brought Stephon Diggs to this team is not because you needed a leader, not because you needed a veteran wide receiver, not because you needed somebody to take the top off, none of that. No, you needed a guy to move the chains, make a play when you absolutely needed it. He's done that in Minnesota. He's done it in Buffalo. And I think you even go back and look at times here this season, He's been a big-time target on third downs. Week one, 3 targets, first down conversions against the Indianapolis Colts. That was huge. I think you're going to see much more of that between him and Dell specifically going forward.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tank Dell. I think Tank Dell is the guy that has the most to gain. I mean, one, we don't know who the hell Tank Dell is. I'm a big fan. I'm the president of the fan club, to be honest
with you.
Tank
is a freaking beast, bro.
Yeah, he is. Ain't no doubt. But the sample size is so small last year before the injury.
Yeah.
The sample size this year has been, it's been gadget guy kind of stuff. I just think he's still a guy that needs to jump on the scene, burst on the scene. And I think that this is the next 4 weeks is going to be a chance to do that for Tank Dell. I love the thought of Diggs, but this is why Diggs is here. Diggs was a win now move.
Yeah.
And this is why he's here. Win now, even without Nico Collins. Diggs actually makes me like Tank even more under this context, right? Which wide receiver has the most to gain in the absence of Nico Collins? Because I think Diggs is going to get a lot of attention.
Yes.
I think now Tank is going to get to run just because out of necessity because Nico is hurt. And he's going to get to run, and he's not going to be the focal point of the defense. At least I don't think he will. Now, if he gets rolling, then he potentially could be. But I think he has the most to gain because he's still trying to establish himself in the NFL. He's trying to bounce back from some serious injuries.
Yeah.
And this season has not gone as well. I don't think it's gone as well as anybody expected, really, for anybody but Nico Collins. So you could probably say this about all the guys we mentioned. But specifically, Tank Dell has really been a non-factor this season for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, you know, the impact plays, you know, some of the explosives, they really haven't been there. He didn't have anything longer than 23 yards, and that was week one. You know, he got loose a little bit last week, I think, for 19 yards. The week before that for 19, 20 yards, whatever it was. But I think there's something at play here that we maybe didn't pay enough attention to or just kind of kicked under the rug a little bit. Whenever Stephon Diggs became a Houston Texan this offseason, the number one question, of course, was, okay, the distraction, the diva, you know, it was very Diggs-centric in terms of your concerns and things like that. But I would say 1A or at least 2 is, hey, man, there's only one football. And now you've got Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell. What about the tight end that you paid this offseason? What about some of these up-and-coming wide receivers, Xavier Hutchinson, John Metchie? If you're going to keep him around, where is his impact going to be felt? Well, now that you don't have, again, the league's best wide receiver on the field for you the next 4 weeks, and this is a 4-1 football team, Clint, that hasn't won any way but really just ugly in these 4 of their first 5 games, now I think is an opportunity very similar to last year when Bobby Slowick and this offense were trying to figure things out. Yep. And you remember after the second loss against the Colts last season, Bobby said, you know what? We got to throw some stuff out and just kind of start from scratch.
Bobby?
What are you doing right now without Nico Collins, who's been that explosive guy, who's been that go-to guy on third down?
Yeah.
You have something this year in your arsenal that you didn't have last year when Nico went down or when Tank went down or you missed them both at times in the season.
Yeah.
You've got Stephon Diggs. You've got Stephon Diggs. That's your guy, but I think Tank Dell eats. I think X eats. I think there's opportunity to get more involved now in terms of offensively what we thought this could look like.
Yeah.
You know, Mixon could be back maybe on a limited basis this week. Damian Pierce is supposed to be back. DeMeco basically said the other day, like, hey, he's going to be good to go for Sunday, barring a setback. So this might be the first time all season, granted, minus Nico Collins, but that we see, like, the fullest iteration of this offense that we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and think you can legitimately make that statement, whether people believe or not, you can legitimately make that statement while they're missing receiver in football to date. So that's pretty powerful. It is a weekend where the Texans can make a statement against a team that otherwise they wouldn't be able to make a statement against, I don't think. Going up, you're supposed to go up there and beat the hell out of New England ultimately. I mean, it's a touchdown? Tyler, what's that line at? A touchdown?
It started at 7.
It started at 7. Yesterday was at 6.5.
Yeah, so it's which to me sounds too good to be true, to be completely honest with you. I thought that thing would be flirting with double digits before you know it, but it doesn't. It looks like it's going the other direction. So what do I know? But the Texans are going to be expected to go up there and do work. And here's the deal: it's to me it'll be a big statement within the win, because you got to win to make any kind of statement. But it'll be a big statement within the win if this offense can put some of its best work out there against New England's defense, because this defense is good.
Solid, yeah.
Right? It's a solid defense. By the way, I'd like to clean something up from yesterday. I said a top 10 defense. I mean, a top 10 defense in scoring. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they haven't necessarily been a top 10 defense between the 20s, but when it comes to keeping teams out of the end zone, they've been really, really good at it. They're multiple. This is a good defense is where I'm going with it. But if you can make that statement without Nico Collins against this defense, I think it's the game within the game that we'll be talking about. Also, I think worth noting here, this week may be a John Metchie, like a legitimate John Metchie week where he gets in and you actually see him on the field and it makes sense, right? No Nico Collins and then Robert Woods, who I believe missed
practice. Hadn't practiced
again,
all week. Yep.
Again, so, I mean, if those two guys aren't practicing, there's going to have to be another receiver brought up and probably get some level of run at some point in time. Now, that may be Sims because of Sims' return ability, so I could be completely off here, but keep your eyes open for John Metchie. This is exactly how I saw John Metchie playing out, is if everybody's healthy, he's going to be inactive and he's not going to get much of a shot. He's going to get one or two opportunities throughout the year, and it's probably going to be minimal, and he's going to have to go make hay when that does happen.
Yeah.
Because they're wanting John Metchie to be active and be a part of this offense more and more every single year. And I love the story.
I would say if there's one reason to believe that he can be that guy at least this week or at different times this season, it's that the one time that, you know, the heat maybe got hot, the noise really got loud, was this preseason when fans and media alike got really annoyed at the fact that John Metchie had not been a part of the offense, had not stepped up, had not shown a reason as to why he should be hanging around and being an active member of this team. What did he do? The one shot that he got in that preseason game, he played really, really well. He got targets and he made the best of them.
And it was no denying well, too. It was underneath. It was making guys miss. It was making difficult catches. It was running great routes. I mean, there was a lot in that one game to go, okay, now I get it. You know, I need to see it.
Yeah, it was one drive within that one game.
Yeah, that's fine.
But again, when his back was against the wall, he went out there and did exactly what you needed him to do,
Johnny,
and what he needed to do.
When you're a second-round pick, and I know he's been through a lot, but when you're a second-round pick, damn it, there's certain things that we should see when you're on the field. And in that game, he showed it. Point blank, any way you slice it. All right, I don't know if y'all watched Thursday Night Football last night. I caught the majority of the game. But Sean Bajani said something when I first got here, so I'm going to call a little bit of an audible here, Tyler. We're going to go another direction. But Thursday Night Football, when you watch that game last night, watching it through the Texans' lens, what did you think? San Francisco on the road between a rock and a hard place, trying to get their system right, not completely healthy. They handle a really good, what I think is a really good Seattle Seahawks, or let's say dangerous Seattle Seahawks football team. Watching that through the Texans' lens, what did that make you think? The crazy thing is the whole way driving up here, I'm thinking one thing. Sean's got one as well. We'll share those with you next right here on Sports Radio 610.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Big City Wings in Humble, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
The only bad thing I can say about Humble is they kicked our tail in the playoffs my senior year in high school. Other than that, man, I've had some good times, great people, and it's great to be up in this neck of the woods. That damn David Boston, he caught a touchdown. He may have even pick six me. I don't even remember.
But David,
we missed a field goal in the last second. No,
that was Humble High School.
Humble High School,
oh, man.
Yep, absolutely. Right over in that same stadium where I think several teams play.
Turner,
right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
But Johnny, do you ever call those Humble games?
Every once in a while. I'm not doing it anymore this year. I'm just too busy. But Patrick Creighton, I mean, it's a little far from him, but I know he's called some Humble games. I called quite a few over the last 3 or 4 years, I'd say.
Yeah, man. It was we baseball and football back in my day, it seems like we always ran into Humble, and it was always playoff time. It always meant something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but it seems like in baseball we called them 2 straight years. And I think they got the best of us then, too. But
they're having a good season this year. I just checked the standings the other day. They're 4-1. But now the buzzsaw around here, you know, it's North Shore and Atascocita and Summer Creek.
When we weren't up here fighting against Humble, at North Shore was the regular, because they were in our conference, in our division at the time, district at the time, I guess. And so we were battling North Shore. So, yeah, we took a – We had an all-timer against North Shore, man. It was
North Shore kiddos, man. They're eating something different than us Baytown kids were. I tell you,
it's definitely different, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, speaking of folks that are eating something different, man, y'all come on through. We're at Fall Creek Big City Wings. Come on through. There's There's a yeah, there you go. Tell them about it. There's plenty of grub. The menu's off the charts. Beer's cold. Hell, the beer's big, too. It looks like on that looks of the mug over there on that bar.
No tiny ones?
Oh, I imagine they got a tiny one for your little bitty old hand. You can probably get a little mug if you want to. Yeah, I mean, they may
hear that, Tyler? What's up with that,
it's
man?
An ongoing thing, man. I ordered a beer one time at a Twin Peaks, and they brought me this, like, beer for baby hands, and it just was not a great look.
I'm typically, look, I know it's hard to believe. I mean, I feel like I get maybe pigeonholed sometimes, and I understand why, but so I'm not complaining. But, like, I'm typically not the guy to kind of look down on others.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked across that damn table at that bar we was at, and Tyler took a drink out of his beer, and it looked like the smallest mug I'd ever seen. I said, man, did you really order that?
Damn,
you're
Tyler.
A grown-ass man.
But you know what?
It's a beer that came with a kid's meal.
Chief, my two-and-a-half-year-old got a bigger sippy cup.
Dude, I gotta have Tyler's back. And Tyler, you better not crawfish out of this, because I got your back on this one. I don't like carrying around basically a pitcher of beer. Like, I want to enjoy, like, not having to lift up something that weighs pounds, you know, and drink from it. And then it's sweating, it's wet. Like, just give me the normal size beer.
I'm fine with it as well. I've never been a big beer mug like my man over here. Now, all my big beer drinkers in the family, they can't get enough of them. They'll drink more. Like, I think they got a hollow leg because they'll drink five or six of them damn things. But, I mean, I go with a bottle. I go with a regular. My man over here got a regular old just a glass.
Yeah.
You know, I looked over there, Tyler, I ain't kidding you, man. That thing looked like it came off my two-year-old's kitchen set.
Was it really that bad?
The problem was, Bajani, like you just said, I'll take the normal beer over the giant, you know, pitcher of beer. Well, this one wasn't even a normal-looking size.
Somebody was trolling you.
It wasn't no bigger than this can right here. What,
Tyler, like
what? It wasn't no bigger than that damn can right there. It was unbelievable. All right, y'all, Thursday night football, man. Thursday night football through my Texans goggles. Or I guess I should say through our Texans goggles. The San Francisco 49ers go to Seattle and get a much-needed win. They were 2-3, man. They needed to beat Seattle on the road in division to get to 3-3. They handle their business. San Francisco 36, Seattle 24. And, Sean, I know this was – I called an audible in this segment right here because when I walked in, Sean says, man, I just couldn't get something off my mind last night when I was watching that San Francisco game. I said, you know what? Me too. I got a couple of things we need to talk about. So, Sean, what was it through your Texans goggles as you watched the 49ers? I would imagine it's the 49ers, but that Thursday night football game last night.
It was. I focused on the 49ers, and look, we all know that Christian McCaffrey's been out all season. I don't know if you saw the report earlier today, though. He's eyeing week 10 for his comeback. So just drop that little nugget in there. But after I watched how well San Francisco ran the ball last night, I mean, they get whatever they want. And if you're not familiar, last night they carried it 33 times for 228 yards. That's at a 6.9 yard per carry clip. And I can't remember at what point in the game, but their running back who's been carrying the load, Jordan Mason, undrafted guy, by the way, he went down with a shoulder injury, I think, at some point last night. Yeah, so then they had this dude, Isaac Garrido, a fourth rounder from like the 22 draft, I think it was. It doesn't make a dang difference. They can get whatever they want in the run game. It just doesn't make a difference. So I was like, okay, well, let me see what they did, because I remember they had a really good week one. And I went back and looked at all of their games to this point this season. In week one, they went 38 carries, 180 yards, 4.7 clip against the Jets. Against Minnesota.
That's a good defense, too.
Yeah. 25 carries, 102 yards. Still a 4.1 yards per carry against the Vikings. We know how good they've been. 34 carries, 137 yards against the Rams. Again, 4.0 even per clip. 32 carries for 148 yards. 4.5 yards per carry against the team that the Texans will see on Sunday, the New England Patriots. And then against Arizona, more of the same. 26 carries for 153 yards, almost 5.9 yards per carry. How in the hell can you have one of the guys that is the best athletes in the entire league, but the guy that's going to carry the rock for you, not touch the field one single solitary carry this year for you, and still be this effective? You're literally one of the most damaging, most effective teams on the ground, and it doesn't matter against what run defense. And I'm thinking about the Texans, who go from Devin Singletary to Joe Mixon. Damian Pierce is supposed to have come into this season with a more clear mind, a better understanding of the scheme. Your offensive line is in year two under the same coaching staff, same scheme. why can this Texans team, that is supposed to be an iteration of the Shanahan tree from now Slowick, like, what in the world are we doing? What's missing? That's where my mind went. I don't know what it is. Is it the offensive line? Is it the play calling? Is it just the overall scheme? Is it we don't have, as Laramie Tunsil likes to say, dogs on this offensive line, which I would tend to side with at this point in time? What is it?
Yeah, look, I cannot help, but and it's frustrating because I get mad at the TV when I'm watching the 49ers play because I'm looking at it, I'm watching them through the Texans lens, right? Mm-hmm. And I agree wholeheartedly with you. It is 100% you don't have – you call them dogs. You don't have, and I'm talking about across. It's not just the O-line. It's the tight ends. It's the fullback. It's the whole. It's the approach. Juwan Jennings is a guy that I mean, he was an old quarterback when he was before going to Tennessee, and then he became a receiver. And he's one of the more physical blocking wide receivers. Gets applauded every week for how physical he is in blocking. A lot of people talk about being physical.
Yeah.
There's a handful of teams that just straight out go out there and punish you, and it's not just the O-line. It's across the board up front. And every time I watch the 49ers play, I can't help but see exactly what you were talking about. I got two other things, though, real quick. The other one, did you see Bosa last night?
Yep.
I don't know if I'm crazy. I don't know if I'm wrong. I don't know if you will agree or not. And I know Bosa's a freak. But I got Bosa-type expectations for Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson.
Right now, both of those guys are significantly falling short.
Absolutely they are. There's no doubt about it.
Significantly, I mean, falling
when people
short.
People out there go, well, what do you want from Will Anderson? Well, I mean, I'm not saying do it for four quarters like Bosa did. I mean, at one point, Bosa was – I mean, he pressured in more than half of the dropbacks last night, him alone.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm not saying that. But just flash. Just have moments where you dominate the game for a quarter, for a drive, for two drives. Like, we just haven't seen that to that level. And then the other thing is just overall the 49ers, and this is more of a Texans thing, and more of a the Texans aren't quite there yet for
yeah.
them, right? I still think they're one of the best teams in the AFC. I still think they're contending for a Super Bowl. But I'm waiting on the Texans to go beat a team physically, handily, a good team, the way the 49ers beat the Seattle Seahawks last night by double digits.
Mm.
Like, go in there and handle your business against a really good football team. It doesn't have to be Baltimore, but a really good football team, and show that you belong. I'm still waiting for that.
Well, they can't
moment.
Do that this weekend.
Correct. The opportunity's not there this weekend.
They missed their opportunity to do that last weekend against the Bills.
You are correct. You are out of luck. All right. This is going to go back. We're going to go back to last week with the Texans, obviously, with the Buffalo Bills victory here at NRG Stadium, and then some big time wins by Tyler's program last week, as well as my program. I got a would you rather for all my college football fans out there. I got a really good would you rather.
I like
would
it.
You rather your college team knock off a top five team, or would you rather the Texans knock off a top AFC football team? We'll cuss
Let's
and discuss
go.
Next right here on Sports Radio 610.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Big City Wings in Humble, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Ryan Hughley is out. Sean Bajani is in. It's always good to have Sean in the building. Nobody covers Houston sports as closely as Sean does, so it's always nice to chop it up with my man. And today, Academy Sports and Outdoors, as every Friday, they're doing big things, y'all. If you come to Fall Creek, Big City Wings, when you walk in the door, there is an Academy Sports and Outdoors Ultimate Football Tailgate Package banner, big stand-up banner right there. Can't miss it. You need to scan that QR code, and what you will do is you'll register to win that Ultimate Football Tailgate Prize Pack from Academy Sports and Outdoors. It's a $1,000 gift card and two tickets in our suite to the Baltimore Ravens-Texans game on Christmas Day.
Hard to beat.
Yeah, man. Big shout-out to Academy. Yes, sir. Academy Sports and Outdoors. We're also giving away two $25 gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors, as well as two $25 Big City Wings gift cards, and then a pair of U of H football tickets versus Utah, and then the UH game versus Kansas State, a pair of tickets there as well. So come on through, hang out with us. Maybe you can win something. Maybe not, but I know you can get some good grub and and a few drinks if you so choose to partake, because Big City Wings, they're doing it right, man. This is the place to go. If you can't get to this one, again, we're in Fall Creek in Humble. If you can't get to this one, make sure there's several out there around the city. Make sure you stop by Big City Wings and hang out. But when you walk in, tell them Clinch Turner and Sean Bajani from Sports Radio 610 sent you, man.
Yeah.
They ain't going to give you nothing free. They ain't going to give you no discount, but it'll still be nice for me and Sean Bajani.
Just name drop us.
Yeah, just name drop if you don't mind.
By the way, don't sleep on those U of H ticket giveaways, because their opponents in back-to-back weeks, as of right now at least, that's 16th-ranked Utah. And that's 18th-ranked Kansas State. So that right now, as it stands, those are the only two. Well, you got BYU. I think they're number 14 right now, the last regular season game of the season. But you're not going to have that many opportunities to see the Cougs take on some ranked opponents. They've been done over a couple of times this regular season already. I think they're operating a little pissed off these days in a little bit of a mid-back controversy. It worked out for them last week against TCU. So good luck on the U of H sticks.
Cougar.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Speaking of college football, I wanted to jump on this a little earlier in the week, but it had a little shelf life, so we're going to use it today, man. A little would you rather, man. I think we can all say that right now our football teams, our alma maters, would be a huge deal for them to get a top 10 win,
mm-hmm.
right? Whether yours have done it recently or not is irrelevant. It just the thought. Last week, my Razorbacks knocked off number 4 Tennessee. Last week, Tyler's Fighting Aggies knocked off number 9 Missouri Tigers. Yeah, there you go. One more time for all the Aggies out there, T. There you go, baby. Boy, he's done it a time or two. You can tell, don't he? I know all my Longhorns just about drove off the highway. You pissed them off.
Hullabaloo, connect, mofos.
But here's the question. Would you rather, and if you're not a big college football fan, then you stay out of my conversation because you don't count, right? If you're a big-time college football fan, would you rather your college team knock off a top-5 football team, or would you rather the Texans, assuming they're your squad for most of the folks out there listening, knock off a top AFC team like the Buffalo Bills like they did last week? Sean, where you at?
There's context to this, right? Because if we're talking just about college first, okay, knocking off a top 5 opponent or a top 10, it's important for you and your alma mater to actually be in the mix at that point in time. Like, right? I mean, the Cougars right now, if let's just say BYU worked their way up into a top 10 status, or Utah did by the time the Cougs play them, and U of H gets a win, U of H doesn't have national championship aspirations just because they knocked off a top 10 opponent at that point in time. They've lost 4 games already.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So there's context there for me, and we don't talk about national upsets in big cities like Houston like we would if a Texans team knocked off the Kansas City Chiefs week 16. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Because that is confirmation for you that your NFL team now has a real opportunity to go to the dance, make some noise at the dance, and maybe go contend for a Super Bowl. That's not always the case in college football. In fact, many more times than not, it's just not. And so from a contextual standpoint, like, I would much rather have my NFL football team take out a AFC opponent or an NFC opponent that really meets something, that gives you confirmation, affirmation that you believe your team's capable of really contending this year.
Yeah, you know, I think the would you rather is interesting because of where the Texans are right now. If they were, you know, say 2 years into a run where they went to the second round, then they went to the AFC Championship, and then they went to the, you know, another divisional round or
the
something.
Arrows
and
pointed up.
Yeah, and they're always there. I think I would feel it. It wouldn't be as much of a solid question if you know what
I mean. If you were a Kansas City, if you were a Baltimore
right now, Kansas City, Baltimore, they're not this very good this year, or haven't been very good this year, but Philly or San Francisco, it's not a big deal. But I think even with the Texans, man, I'm just speaking because it happened for me last week. Like, the feeling that I get when the Razorbacks beat a top 5 football team, top 10 football team, is like no other.
Preach.
I mean, it's just like no other. And now, look, you got to understand, I mean, my Hogs ain't, I mean, they're not blue blood national contenders.
They're not an elite.
So when you go beat a top 10 football team, you're usually going to win 8, 9, 10 games, which that don't happen every year for us.
But you have the opportunity more times than not. And, you know, a program like me coming from U of H, now that they're in the Big 12, you have many more of those opportunities. Maybe not top 10s, but top 20 teams.
Nah, they're out
there. Dude, it was a big deal when the Cougs were in CUSA or the American Conference. Yeah. It's like, let's go. We got a top 25 team on the schedule this week.
I look back at U of H. They didn't end up beating Lamar Jackson that year. They were having a really good year, and Lamar came to Houston, did he? They didn't end up beating him. I think they ended up winning.
When he was at Louisville?
I think Louisville ended up winning that game. But they beat somebody earlier in that year.
You're helping make my other point, though.
That we can't remember?
Exactly. From a collegiate standpoint, you don't remember those kinds of wins.
I do.
You're kind of the exception, though. I mean, you're almost a college football extremist, you know?
Well, Tyler, fair. But Tyler, break the tie here, man.
Yeah,
how do you
I
feel?
Will. I will break the tie because I have a very short, very simple answer, and that is if we're talking right now, my fandom of the Houston Texans, and I do love the Houston Texans. I have since 2002. But if we're talking right now, even with all these great things, or if we're talking 30 years from now and the Texans have won, you know, like 4 or 5 Super Bowls or something crazy, none of that matters to me. The answer for me is always 10 times out of 10 going to be Texas A&M doing something to the effect of beating a top 5 team, getting in the playoff, hopefully one day winning a national title. My Aggie, my maroon fandom, and the feelings I get watching Aggie football, there is my fandom for anything else, it doesn't compare. It's not even close.
I'm actually shocked that you said that. Oof. For a guy, how many A&M tats do you have on your arm, Tyler? Let me ask you that.
Zero.
All right, how many Houston Texan tats do you have on your arm?
Too many to count.
Come on, what are we doing?
I mean, I wear my Aggie ring every single day, though.
That's a great point. You know, that's a great point. Tyler, all that damn ink you got, you ain't got nothing. You ain't got a thumb up in the air.
Well, guys, I still got a lot of skin left. So
what the hell are you waiting on?
Yeah, what are you waiting on?
I mean, they ain't gonna be the way the route you're on. That skin's gonna be saggy for too long. You better take care of yourself.
You know what? Tyler's literally getting tatted up tomorrow.
Hey,
he's gone through sweat. He's gone through tears, and now with the tats, he's literally shed his blood. For the Houston Texans, okay? But then you're going to answer this question like, oh, yeah, Aggs, whoop.
I'm just saying, man, it ain't even close. It ain't even close.
I went to Tyler as a tiebreaker because I knew what his answer was going to be. Hey, T, if you were gonna get an Aggie tattoo of some sort in your sleeve or maybe your other sleeve when you start it, what would it be?
That's a good, really, really good question.
You've got options.
I think I'd go with Old Sarge probably, just off the dome.
No, you should not.
Why?
That is not the option.
Old Sarge is a badass.
I'm not disrespecting Old Sarge. I'm just saying that's not it.
Well, you should go gig him on your right butt cheek.
I mean, what's...
what about Miss Rev? What about the First Lady of Aggieland? Maybe I should get a Reveille tattoo.
I was thinking Rev, or even just like a big thumbs up. Or you could go with the what noise were you making a while ago? Yeah, you can go with one of those down your tricep or something, just real big. Like, you've got options, man. Don't go with Big Sarge.
I bet
every Aggie out there that's got a tattoo went with Big Sarge.
No, maybe the older days.
I was going to say old school.
Yeah, Old Sarge hasn't. They've recently been bringing Old Sarge kind of back into the mix with some stuff at A&M, but he kind of disappeared there for a bit, like during my time in school over there and everything.
Oh, man, you got some options, man. You got to somehow incorporate Northgate, because I know it's where you spent most. I know you don't remember much of it, but I know it's where you spent a lot of your time. You've got to incorporate some things. I think you should do one whole
think
sleeve
on that. That's a really good question. There's a lot of options.
If you put Johnny Manziel on your arm, I quit you.
No.
I'm done.
I'm not going to put another man on my arm.
All right.
Except for this astronaut guy.
Some random guy you don't know that you'll never
He's
see.
He's unknown, so that's good.
All right, boys. Hey, look, that's Tyler Milner. He's back in the studio behind the glass on the ones and twos. Sean Bajani is in for Ron Ugly today. I'm Clint Starner. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. We appreciate you for tuning in, as always. If you have downloaded that Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, if you've downloaded it, you know how to spell it. If you hadn't downloaded it, knock that out, man. We'd love for you to take us anywhere and everywhere you go. There's some really cool features on there that you can, a rewind feature that's really cool where you can go back and listen to other shows or listen to other interviews that, are done, or maybe Tyler jumps in and says something that he's probably going to get written up for, then you can find it. And there you go, that guy. But either way it goes, A-U-D-A-C-Y, download that app and take us everywhere you go. And keep us at the right there on your hip, man. We greatly appreciate that. All right, B. Scott said something yesterday. It's Texans related. B. Scott said something yesterday, and we didn't get to it when I had him on the show. So I said, B. Scott, you know what? I'm going to hijack your idea, and I'm going to talk to Sean Bajani about this one right here. All right, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. We've talked about them briefly over the last couple of days. And where are you at on Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter right now? There's a big opportunity this week where they should absolutely wreck shop. And if they don't, we're going to have to talk about these big edge rushers that one of them that's a number three overall pick and one of them that's making a boatload of money. This is a week where they've got to shine. Where are you at with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter? We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.